Jesus.
Oh, we come to you today. With a contrite heart, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, God. Come with your power. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are the living hope. Your presence alone. I tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Come flood this place and the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living home. Your presence alone. Tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence alone. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Yes, Lord, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Yeah. more aware of your presence. Let us experience your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Your presence, your presence, Lord, presence, Lord. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. So God, in your mighty awesome presence, God, this is our prayer, Lord. Ora va piena va sobre.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we've got a triune God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just want to reiterate those words, Father God, that your presence is welcome here. And your presence is what we seek, Father God. Your heart is what we seek, Father God. Father God Almighty, I'd like to make a declaration that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God Almighty, be acceptable unto Thee. Father God, may the words that I speak be the words that You wish me to speak, Father God. May the message that I, Father God, convey be the message that comes from Your heart. I speak blessing, Father God, to each and everyone listening to this word here present or on audio, Father God. And we just welcome You, Holy Spirit. We just welcome You. We just want to say that we are so reliant and dependent on You, Holy Spirit. For we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, Father God, as opposed to having a physical life with sometimes experiencing the spiritual, Father God. Father God, we are Your creation, created in Your image and Your likeness, Father God. We are seeking, Father God, we are seeking, Father God, to exercise Your authority. We are seeking to bring heaven down on earth, Father God. As You have taught us, as Jesus Christ has taught us how to pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. May Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So Father God Almighty, may this word, may this message, Father God, be a bringing down of Your heaven, Father God, down here on earth. I speak this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. And whoever's listening on audio, thank you for listening. This morning, I'd like to bring a message on standing. Just share a devotional on standing, which I hope is an exhortation. However, I just want to underscore the message of today, that this message was actually influenced by a message brought on the 24th of March by Pastor Nate, when he preached on Ephesians 6:12. And that message touched my heart very deeply on that day. And it just the Holy Spirit just downloaded so much into me that I actually feel that I've got so much to say about this. Not saying that I'm the ultimate opinion on this, but I just feel that the Holy Spirit has really given me something with regards to this message and that message that P. Nate shared on the day. P. Nate spoke about spiritual warfare on the day, and that there was a spiritual realm, and that we're not just flesh and blood, simply what we can see, hear, smell, and taste, and touch, and that in the spiritual realm, that there is an enemy. And that enemy is called Satan, who wants to destroy us. And therefore, there is spiritual warfare. But he underscored that message with a question: how do we fight? I'm not necessarily going to speak about how do we fight in the spiritual warfare. I want to speak on about other aspects that he addressed within that message. He had referenced scripture other than Ephesians 6. His reference scripture was 2 Kings 6, 16 to 17. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of his servant, the servant's eyes. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha's servant went out and found a great army with horses and chariots surrounding the city about to take Elisha. "He is greatly afraid," and Elisha responds, "There's an unseen realm that is very much real as that which we can see." So this unseen realm is both angels and demons. And then P. Nate further went on to say that in the spiritual realm there is an enemy, where he described the enemy and also underscore that with Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then 1 Peter 5:8 then also describes that, "Be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Why am I speaking on this? Why am I speaking on standing? I just find that we as a congregation, we as a household, as a spiritual household, we as the house of Pastor Samuel Song, finds ourselves at a very hurting place with the loss that we've had, with the physical loss that we've had with our brother Calvin Koo, that has recently graduated to be, I believe, in the kingdom of glory, seated next to Father. And When things like this happen, when loss happens, when we are faced with death, we are many a day our faith is challenged. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to be so full of myself to not admit that my faith was challenged, because I believed. I believed with Calvin. I believed with Alicia. I believed with the entire family. I believed with this household. We prayed and we believed. We prayed and we believed that Calvin will be healed and his physical body will be re-energized and he would be amongst us. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And for various reasons, there's many reasons that we can't explain. We don't always know why these things happen. And what Father does do in a process like this is, over time, he does bring clarification. He does bring an understanding. Death is not something to brag about. But in the past 6 years, I've lost 7 family members. 7. And you might think maybe it's distant family or whatever. I lost a mother. I lost a father. I lost two brothers. I lost a sister. And I lost a grandmother. And I lost an aunt. And it is not a nice thing. In the past 6 years, yeah, 7 family members. And of those 7, 4 of them passed by cause of cancer. And it is not a nice experience. It is really not a nice experience. And as you are experiencing now, that I'm experiencing with you, because I walked, I had the privilege of walking a journey with Calvin and becoming very close to him, very spiritually very close to him. I became friends with him just prior to him being diagnosed, about maybe 9 months before he was diagnosed. But from the time that he was diagnosed, we became very close. And it was really a privilege for me to become close to him and to learn more about him and to learn more of his faith. And oh man, what a walk of faith did Calvin have. What a walk of faith the Koo family had and is having. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen or experienced anything like it. But nonetheless, in this time that we are feeling hurt, the accuser of the brethren many a day will come. The accuser of the brethren will come and he'll accuse us of, see how you stood for this and how you believed in this thing. And it didn't come to pass. See how you prayed in faith and it didn't come to pass. I am here to encourage you this morning. I'm here to say, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. And it's easy to say, don't believe that. Because it's just words. It's just words. But the trouble is, the minute you start accommodating those thoughts and you give food to those thoughts, then the enemy starts consuming your mind. Then he starts taking over. Then he starts convincing you. Then he starts telling you, just don't tell anybody about it. Then he starts isolating you. And when he isolates you, oh, that's when he kills you. That's when he kills you. Remember the scripture that I just read now? That is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to kill and destroy. So the best way for a lion, this is how a lion hunts. And I watch lots of documentaries on lions. I'm from South Africa. We've got lots of lions and you see them, how they engage. Lions isolate their prey. There could be a herd of antelope, whatever. A lion is not going to go attack in the herd. He isolates, and the entire pack of lions, they isolate the target. And when they isolate their target, it's the reason for isolating the target is for the prey to know that it's isolated, it's weak, and it's consuming the prey's mind. The prey already knows the minute it's isolated, his lunch. Or his breakfast or his dinner. Because the lion plays the psychological game. The lion attacks with a psychological effect. And that's exactly how the enemy attacks. And the only way many a prey, many a target gets away from the lion is when they don't give up. Is when they don't succumb, let themselves succumb to the situation. Is when they stand. They stand firm. And how they stand firm is either they run back into the crowd, or sometimes, like in the case with the buffalo, they stand firm. Sometimes they turn and they stand facing the lion. And when they face the lion, it breaks down the lion. The lion doesn't attack face on. The lion attacks from the side or from behind. The lion attacks when you don't see, when you are not aware, when you are not alert. That's how the lion attacks. And the reason why I speak about the lion attacking, when P. Nate shared his message, there was an essence of 3 areas with regards to his message and how Ephesians 6 is broken down. It's basically, it's the sitting, the walking and the standing of our faith. That's how P. Nate brought the message on that morning. And the entire Ephesians is broken down into two parts, into a doctrinal teaching and then also the practical teaching. But I want to focus on the practical side, where the sitting is actually the doctrinal side, and the practical side is the walking and the standing. I want to focus on the standing. It was Winston Churchill who said that courage is what it takes to stand up and speak, but courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen clearly, and sit down and listen. So clearly, Winston Churchill is addressing all three aspects of Ephesians. That he says, it takes courage to stand up and speak, but it also takes courage to sit down and listen. But never mind what Winston Churchill said, because he was a great leader. Maybe we can focus on what the Scripture teaches us about standing. There are many commands in the Scripture that repeats itself many times. But the one that is very often repeated is the call to stand firm. There is one command throughout the Bible that keeps repeating itself: stand firm, stand firm. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Then again in Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you are able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, what does Apostle Paul say? Stand. It is interesting that the Bible prescribes only one position for spiritual warfare: standing. Why standing? The soldier for Christ is never called to sit down or lie down when spiritual warfare needs to take place. He's always called to stand. In fact, throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit deliberately uses the word stand. And the word is used in three different ways. It's to withstand when describing our position before the enemy, and to stand firm, and to stand. Why is standing so important to God? I ask myself that question. Why is standing so important to God? And here's one possibility that I ventured. Perhaps God wants us to stand because He knows what it can accomplish. Because first of all, when we stand up, we are making a conscious decision that we identify with a particular cause. There's many a good proverb that teaches us about standing your ground. When people speak about how to defend yourself, they say, stand up, man. Stand up. Stand up to this bully. It's defending yourself. And sometimes the standing up is not necessarily for you to engage and for you to be aggressive, but just to stand up. Because many a day, and most of the time, when an attack comes, when the enemy or bully or whatsoever wants to come and take you, wants to consume you, the mere fact that you are standing up, looking it in the eye and saying, till here and no further, it's amazing how it diffuses their attack. It's amazing how it discourages their attack. It's amazing how fearful the enemy or the bully becomes once it sees your determination in your eyes and the firmness and the sternness in your look and your stance by saying, I'm standing up, I'm drawing a line in the sand and no further. It's amazing how the enemy just can't handle that. Because the enemy's main weapon is the psychological warfare, as I said. Whether it is a bully, whether it is the devil, whether it is your boss, sometimes just standing up for what you believe in is an amazing tool to make people realize that they've got to respect your values, your morals, your ethics. And in the case of the spiritual warfare, for the enemy to realize that he's got to respect your faith. Because your faith is underscored and supported by the Spirit of God. And once you stand up for your faith, it's amazing how much more respect people have for you. People might not even like Scripture. People might even call themselves atheists and say they don't want to hear about this, that, or the other. But when you stand up for your faith, they have respect for you. They might not like what you say. They might even not like you. They might not like how you are saying it. But for you as an individual, they will have respect because you are standing up for your beliefs. Standing up requires us to forsake the comfort of neutrality and anonymity. Standing up says, I identify with a cause. Standing up says, if I'm standing up for Ernie, if Ernie is attacking, I'm standing up for Ernie, then it means I identify with Ernie. I appreciate the values of Ernie. I appreciate what he represents. And if anybody wants to attack what Ernie represents, I will fight against it, meaning that I value those attributes that he's promulgating just as much as if it's my own. I identify to an extent where looking at Ernie and representing and standing up for Ernie means I'm standing up for myself. I believe so much in what he's standing for that I'm standing up for him because it's as if I'm standing up for myself. There's a story of a soldier during the American Civil War who tried to play it safe during the battles. And he was wearing a Union jacket and Confederate trousers. It's just a story that I read. I don't know how true this is. But as it turns out, this guy was fired upon by both sides. And he was killed because he was unwilling to take a stand. He was trying to play it safe, sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence is not a good place to be. Yeah, sure, there comes a time when one has got to make a decision where things are not as clear as we would like them to be, where there is a moment of neutrality where one needs to look at the circumstance, look at the facts before we take a stand. But somewhere along the line, we're going to have to take a stand. You can't remain on that fence of neutrality. We can't stay there. It's not a place. Even in international politics, when you cross a border, you're either in this country or the other country. You are not permitted to stay because between the borders, many a day, there's an area that's called no man's land, where the fence of the border of country one and the fence of the border of country two is separated by a small space. Many a day, it's just like 5 or 10 meters. In some instances, it's wider, where there's a big river, whatever. And in that space, it's called no man's land. But you are not permitted to stay in no man's land. You need to make a call. Nobody is permitted to stay in no man's land. If you go into no man's land as law dictates, if after a certain time you have not made a decision, the country from which you have gone into no man's land, they have the authority to go and fetch you and then lock you up. So you are not permitted. Even man's laws have been designed so not to allow you to stay on, sit on the fence. When we stand up, it strengthens our fighting spirit. There's a spiritual thing that happens when we stand up. Sometimes you'll find someone taunts you and someone taunts you, and we see it many a day on a sporting field. That sometimes one player will taunt another to get under his skin, to get him emotional or to respond in a bad way so that they can get the upper hand of that of the opposing player. But when that player that's being taunted takes a stand, it's amazing how much more respect and that comes from the player that was taunting and how the taunting player retreats when the other player stands up. There's something spiritual that happens when we stand up. When we stand up, we also stand out. Let that sink in for a moment. When we stand up, we also stand out. Is that not what God asks of us? To stand out amongst the crowd. Is that not part of the commissioning that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, as Romans says? Is it not part of representing the kingdom of God? Is it not part and tantamount to being the salt and the light? To stand out. When everybody else is making fun of another for whatever reason and unjustly attacking someone, is it not our call? Is it not our purpose to stand up and say something? The Bible writes with accolades to Apostle to Simon Peter when they were in the upper room. Because even in the presence of the other disciples, he was the one who stood up and said something. He stood up and he said something. When we stand up, we also indicate that we are taking a specific direction. When we stand up, we also say that we are not directionless. When we stand up, we say we know what we are standing for. When we stand up, we say we've got something that we identify with. And when we stand up with the voice of God, when we stand up with the word of God, then it says we are likened to our King. The world will take notice that there's something different about us when we stand up and when we say something. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus describes the believer as salt and light. And when we stand against the enemy, we stand out against the worldly backdrop of blandness and of darkness. As our lives stand out, we show others that there's something in this world worth standing for. So when the enemy comes amidst our heartbreak and our heartache, when the enemy comes in this next few days, perhaps few weeks, and wants to attack us and accuse us with regards to our faith that we stood for something and it didn't come about. Stand up. Stand up. Don't take it sitting down. Stand up. You could be strong while seated. You could be strong. You could be strong while walking. You could be. But you are more likely to be taken out when you don't stand. Because standing, as I've said earlier, there's a spiritual switch that takes place. It's like, no more. No more. When I stand up, I say no more. I don't always know how no more. When we stand up, we don't always have the answer. But we are saying, by the grace of God, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, no more. And when we say that and we make that stand, the Holy Spirit comes and informs our heart. The Holy Spirit comes and directs our thinking. The Holy Spirit influences our spirit. And our spirit man then influences the soul man. And the soul man then takes courage. Because when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit in our spirit man, and our spirit man speaks to our soul man, what many a day happens is there's reference to scripture. There's reference to biblical teaching that comes up because that's how the Spirit of God works. And when that happens, I'm reinforced in my belief. I'm reinforced in my faith. And I'm able to look the enemy in the eye and say, no more. And when he still attacks, then I'm able to address him with scripture. Because Father says I can call upon scripture to speak against the enemy. Then I can speak against him with the truth of God. Because it's captured in his word. But I need to stand. I need to decide to stand and say, no more. God created all men to stand for something. Whether it's a political perspective, whether it is belonging to a sporting team or supporting a specific sporting team, people are always looking for a cause to adopt and to embrace. But only the cause of Christ can truly fulfill this finely designed desire within the human heart. It's only the cause of Christ can truly fulfill this finely designed desire within the human heart. When we stand against Satan, we help people see, those around us, our brethren, other believers, other non-believers, we help them see that there's an ultimate cause worth standing for. People want to identify with winners. Now, we can stand for several things and not know what the outcome is going to be. But the one thing that I do know, because it's been proven over and over and over in time, standing with God always puts you on the winning side. Always put you on the winning side. If God is for us, who can be against us? The scripture that I referenced earlier from Second Kings with Elisha and his servant. The servant couldn't see, but they were surrounded by horses and chariots. And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And Elisha could see beyond what was seen in the physical. We always outnumber the enemy when we're with God. We always, because God's world is an upside-down kingdom. One can defeat 1,000 and 2, 10,000. There's no mathematical equation, an algorithm that can work, that can figure that out. But that's the kingdom of God. I don't care who says what. God says that in his word. I believe it, and that settles it. So come up with your arguments. Come up with your smart opinions. That's God's kingdom. That's how it works. That's why when in situations when things look and seem so unlikely, the Spirit of God stands up. The Spirit of God stood up in Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, when Christ was crucified, on the crucifix, he was standing. To the world, it seemed that he was crucified. He was nailed to a cross. In the Spirit, he was standing. He stood up to the enemy and said, I'm coming. I'm coming. Hell, I'm coming. And I'm going to depart with the keys. And that's exactly what he did through standing. So I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage myself that when we are challenged, stand. We don't always know what the outcome is going to be, but stand. When we are weak and weary, stand. When we become emotional and feel the pain of a loss, stand. Every day this past few days since Calvin has passed, has been a challenge for me. I mentioned how many people I lost in the last few years. And this is the kingdom of God. The only person who I believe I mourned deeper than Calvin was my mother. Now you must remember I lost my father and brother and sister, you know? But because of the spiritual connection, I believe because of the spiritual connection, that's why I feel such a deep sense of loss for Calvin. This morning, the enemy attacked again because he attacks all the time. I had a bad bout of diarrhea since 3 this morning. And then I felt, man, should I call someone and ask someone else to bring a message this morning? Then I realized, oh boy, you are speaking on standing. That's not standing. That's not standing. How can I ask somebody else? I'm sure the Holy Spirit will be able to cover me and protect me that while I'm speaking here, I'm not going to have to run to the bathroom as it is now. And praise God for that. Because that's what the enemy does. He comes and he sows a seed of doubt. Be careful when that seed of doubt comes. Don't water that seed. Kill it. And how do we kill it? By standing. We stand. We kill that seed of doubt by standing. You know, there's even a world record for someone who stood for the longest, which is 61 hours in the Guinness Book of Records. This indicates that standing is not a natural position. So it's not a natural position. It's a cognitive decision that you've got to make to stand. It's not going to happen naturally by praying, Lord, cover me, Lord, protect me. Now, sometimes we've got to get out of that space of being the whimper and feeling sorry and pity for ourselves, where we need to make a decision to say, I'm going to stand. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. That's when the Spirit of God comes and speaks to us. That's when the Spirit of God guides us and navigates us out of that situation. But while I'm lying down and pitying myself, man, when the dog is down, kick it. And I think the enemy is a great exponent of that. When you are down, he kicks you. He steps on you. You are unable to step on it. We were authorized to step on the enemy's head, like a scorpion, like a snake, to step on it and kill it. But if we are lying down, we can't step on it. You can't step on the enemy when you're lying down. You can only do that when you stand. I want to get, as I get to my closing, I want you to ponder 2 questions. I suppose they juxtapose to each other. The first one is, what are few of the risks involved with standing up for something? There's the first one. And the second is, what are the benefits of standing up for Christ? I think the second one easily outweighs the first. The risks involved, people are going to identify you with a cause. People will decide that they like you or dislike you. People will decide whether they like how you convey your message or not. They will speak about you, good or bad. That's the risks. You'll be marked to belong to a certain camp. But then the second question, juxtaposing the first one. Is it not worth being identified that you're standing up for Christ? Is it not worth being identified that you're standing up for life? Is it not worth being identified that we are from an eternal kingdom that has gotten upside down way about itself versus this world? Isn't it worth that we are standing up for a king that sacrificed his son? Isn't it worth being identified that we are serving a living God with a living spirit that authorizes us to act the same way like he does? Man, I think the pros by far outweigh the cons. By far outweigh the cons. A famous author called Norman Peel, he writes, he says, stand up to your obstacles and do something about them. You will find that they have half the strength that you think they have. Many a day the obstacle is only as big as we think it is. The minute we stand up, then we can find out it doesn't have as much bite as we believe to be. Gretchen Carlson, author, TV commentator, a woman's activist, says, be brave and be fearless, and for God's sake, stand up for yourself. She's speaking to women in an age where women want to be get recognized. And many of the women, and I hope not to be controversial what I'm saying here, but many women just want to latch on to women's liberation movement, whatever. But she says, for God's sake, stand up for yourself. Stop latching on to what the majority is saying, then wanting to be pitied on. Stand up for yourself. She was actually rated as one of the most influential women in the Forbes top 100 list 2017. And there's another quote by another famous guy that I like a lot as well. He says, be alert, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith and act like a man. Be strong. That is by a famous man called Apostle Paul of Tarsus in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. And then another quote by the same gentleman who seems to have written very, very well advised scripture. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that is in Philippians 1:27. So I want to encourage us, for us to stand firm in one faith, for us to stand firm with a faith in God, for us to stand firm that regardless what the enemy throws at us, regardless of the fact that we feel we have lost a brother, regardless of the fact that we are demoralized, regardless of the fact that something bad has happened, like P. Sam said last night in our worship for the retreat, being discouraged is a choice. We can be disheartened, we can be maybe feel a bit flat, but being discouraged is a choice. Let's not make that choice. Let's choose to stand. Choosing to stand says, I see the adversity. I acknowledge the circumstance. It is not nice, but I'm not going to let it get me down. Praise God for that. That's my message. I trust that it brought, or it brings something to each and every one of us, either now or over time. Brother Ernie is going to just lead us in worship. Thank you very much.
Let's sing Break Every Chain. Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We break every chain, break every chain. Every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, sufficient the sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, both redemption. Redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. Power, oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. We break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up, yes. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Church, go and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, we break every chain. We break every chain, break every chain, we break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain.
Father God Almighty, we want to come, Father, and declare that in the name of Jesus that we are breaking every chain, Father God. That in the name of Jesus, Father God, we choose to stand up, Father God Almighty. And now standing up, Father God, we are confessing the power in the name of Jesus, Father God, to break every chain. Father, we are here this morning to say to the enemy, not on our watch. Not on our watch. We are standing up. We are standing for something, Father God. And regardless of the heartbreak that we have, Father God, regardless of the circumstance in which we are standing up, Father God. An enemy, you will not take and grab a hold of us. You will not grab a hold of us. We are standing up because we are breaking every chain with the power of Jesus. Oh, Father God, I just want to pray a spirit, Father God, a spirit of standing up in this church, Father God. A spirit of standing up for the kingdom of God. A spirit of saying, I will not lie down and be kicked. A spirit of saying, yes, I am hurt, but I will stand firm. A spirit of saying, I identify with the kingdom of God. I am standing for the kingdom of God. A spirit that says, I stand for the everlasting truth of our Father, of Jesus Christ, and everything that He sacrificed on the cross. Father God, we also want to just come together as a community, Father God, to pray over our community, Lord God Almighty. And we want to pray over people and our members, Father God, who are suffering of cancer. Oh, Father God, that word cancer, Father God, it will not make us fear, Father God. We're not going to fear it, Father God. We speak the death of cancer in the name of Jesus, Father God. Regardless, Father God Almighty, of how many people are on this list, we speak for this list to disappear because of the healing of Christ. Father God, we call upon your name. We call upon your redemptive gifts, Father God Almighty. We call, Father God, on the supernatural of the kingdom of God over these people, Father God Almighty, that they will be healed, Father God. We still stand, Father God, we believe. We stand, Father God, we still stand in believing in the healing, Father God, of your magnificent power, Father God. We speak, Father God, for the healing of these people, Father. We also want to pray, Father, for members of our community, Father God, suffering from illness and needing salvation, Father. We also gather as a community to pray over those in our community with infirmities and for them to suffer healing and relief. Also thinking this morning of those in our community requiring jobs. Dan Park, he's been seeking a job in the U.S. to be closer with his father for a while now. We just speak over that situation, Father God. We speak for heaven to come down here on earth for Dan Park, Father God Almighty. We speak for opportunity to open up, Father God. We call upon favor, Lord. We call upon favor. We call upon open doors, Father God, that you will open up for him, Father. He's been standing for that for a while now, Father God. We say no more, Father God. We declare into the heavenlies, Father God, that this earth will give up an opportunity for our brother, Lord, in Jesus' name. So do we speak over Bonnie Chang, Father God. We speak, Father God, that you open up an opportunity for her, Father God. That you create an opening for her, Lord God Almighty. That when she walks into a job, Father God, she will know that it is something that has been caused and created by you. Favor over her life, Father God. Favor in Jesus' name. Today we also focus on our missions, our foreign missions. Pray for North Korea, for open doors, for ministry, and missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, as well as the persecuted churches in the Middle East. We also think about all the gatherings, the SB gatherings over the weekend. Alpha, GIC, prison outreach, the drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, women's discipleship, which I think is actually ended. Sunday service, Noah's Ark, worship and hospitality, SB youth, Yahweh, spin services, and then we also think about the SB Philippines activities and all other meetings. Let's raise our faith. Let's raise our faith. Let's spend 5 minutes on this. This is the essence of who we are. This is our DNA. These gatherings is the DNA of SB. So let's push in. Let's push in the Spirit for our DNA. Let's push in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit will establish itself and make its mark. Let's also pray for Pastor Brian and the logistics and all the people's schedules for the upcoming retreat. Last night we had our last retreat prayer gathering. Let's pray for that and let's just lift it up and ask for God's goodness and the advancement of the kingdom. Let's ask for a divine message from Pastor Brian. All his preparation to go well, his travel to be easy, for peace to consume his mind. And for him to come with a message of love and peace in whatever way God gives it to him. Let's pray also for our house churches gathering today. Fortress, House to House, Marwan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this morning. We want to thank you for this time that we could have spending in your presence, Father God. Thank you that we can come and to praise and worship you, Father God. Thank you that we've got people in this church, Father God, choosing to stand up regardless of circumstance, Father God. That we are praising your name, Father God, even if it's in a condition of just in faith and being doubtful, Father God, in our minds, but just in faith, Father God. Because, Father God, we believe that as your word speaks, Father God, and expresses that it shall not return void unto us, Father God. When we worship and praise in faith, Father God, it will come and it will fill our spirit, Father God. It will lift us and elevate us, Father. Taking us back to, Father God, where we belong, where you want us to be, Father God. I speak blessing, Father God, over the audience, Father God, today, the congregation, and those listening also on audio, Father God. We speak a blessing, Father God. We speak, Father God, and I ask, Father God, for you to release your blessing, Father God, of correcting the mistakes that I've made in the message, Father God, and you make this message your own in their hearts. Holy Spirit, you go into their hearts and into the minds, and you make this message what you want it to be. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come into my heart, into my mind. Teach me, guide me, and elevate me to where I know you want to take me. Father, you are the God that says you want us to soar like eagles, Father God. And you don't want us to stumble against the rock, Father God. Father, we pray this morning that your sons, Father God, will soar. They will soar. They will soar like eagles, Father God. In your son's most precious name. Enjoy your personal prayer time.